I get it now. So I'm Sara. I'm a software engineer. I work at CSIRO, which is an interesting place to work. But that's not relevant to my talk, so I won't talk about it. My talk's called Happy Hackers for Happy Code, but I modified it a little bit for the occasion, so hence the title. And the deal with this talk is that it's not about me. I want you to help out, and if you answer a question, you get a lolly. So, and if you sit right at the back, I can't throw lollies at you, so they'll hit Rihanna instead, and she'll be sad, but get a lolly. So come forward so you can contribute. So, Happy Hackers, Happy Code. How many people here are programmers? How many people here manage programmers? How many people write technical documentation? How many people do marketing? I missed marketers last time. Hey! What else do people do? Sysadmins, of course, yeah. Sysadmins. Yeah, so I'm going to gear this talk to sort of everybody, but hopefully I'll see. So, what's happy code? What do I mean by happy code? Happy code is correct. No use writing code that doesn't work or does something that you don't expect. I just want to run at that. It's understandable. It's got comments. It's got good documentation, both internally and externally. It's got good variable names. You can look at it and you can sort of guess what it's going to do. It's efficient. It doesn't take the life of a universe to run. Testable. So if you want to make a change, you can make it and you can test it and you can know that you haven't broken anything or make a good guess that you haven't broken anything. It means that you can test bug fixes, you can test new features, and all of that stuff makes it supportable, which means that you can fix it without going insane. Anyway, so happy programmers. Lots of people put their hands up saying they're programmers. What makes you happy as a programmer? Sorry? Coffee? Coffee, okay. But no more food or drink. Yeah? Programming. Excellent answer. I love doing that. Yep. Non-crazy people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Working with children. So, for the summarize, there's good tools. So, you've got all the things that you need to actually do your job. Good policies, like policies for committing code, for code reviews, for testing. Test your stuff before you commit it. Maybe the build should never break. Things like that. Good colleagues. I don't like working with and happy code, because it's recursive and we like recursion. Okay, so I'm going to talk mostly about the tools. The first tool I've already been talked about, so I'll go back quickly. Version control, obviously you all know what it is. knowledge management systems, like the keys and stuff, bug and task tracking systems, like Track or Redmine or Bugzilla, build systems, testing systems, and development tools. So, it's sort of a slightly different take on version control systems, but you can basically divide them up into distributed ones or centralized ones. The distributed ones are into fashion these days, for good reason. But I'm not going to talk about which one to pick, because if you Google for it, there's a really big Wikipedia page with a giant table, and it's got a very good comparison. But what I will talk about is how to pick one. So I was preparing this talk, and I went on IRC, and one of the people there said, dealing with conflict. My current team has a disaster of concurrent edits. Apparently, they use some sort of slave source control software in the past to let multiple people edit the file, and whoever checked last one. Sounds like source safe. So version control systems can do you brain damage. So you should pick the right one. But when I was picking one, random jink tree, so does it let you branch easily? What sort of branches can you do? Can you merge the branches? All that sort of thing was an important consideration. And another one I thought was important is putting bug fixes. So if you put a new feature in one version or fix a bug in one version, you should be able to port it to your previous version if you want to without too much hassle. That's a pretty important consideration for me as a developer. But there are other considerations. The community is obviously one. So, skipping over version control quickly, knowledge management systems. At your current company, how many people have some sort of system to put stuff in, like a wiki or a... How many people don't have one? I know you're working on it. Anything is better than nothing. The worst thing is having all your company's knowledge passed in emails between co-workers. In Word documents, written in Spanish. No. put it all up somewhere, and it makes it a lot easier to find for new people and old people alike. But the most important thing about whatever you choose is it should be searchable. So if I know what I'm looking for, I should be able to find it. And it should be organizable. So if I don't know what I'm looking for, I can still find it. If I'm new, I want to find out where to check out the code from, should be able to go and just find it. I shouldn't have to go and ask people for the server name to find it. So, what goes in a knowledge management system for knowledge? What should you put in it? Yeah? So, one at a time. Yes? What's the same? Knowledge. That's lame. Processes, yes. Half a throw. Sorry? Six, yes, definitely. Anyone else? Yeah, well, indexes. Well, if your knowledge management system does a good search, then it doesn't really need to do that. But in CSIRO, we're very fond of acronyms. There's about 5 different acronyms for everything. So that's another thing that would be useful in there. I'm going to take a photo of my throwing. Updating them, yeah. What else? Yeah? FAQs, yes. I'm a lot better at throwing than I was last time with bronchitis. So, specifications. Important decisions. So if you've decided to do a certain thing in a certain way, use a particular platform, use a particular threading model, use threads, don't use threads, I don't know. Any sort of thing that might not be obvious, but it's an important decision the software's taken. You should put that in there, because inevitably someone's going to come in and say, why did you do that? What were you thinking? Design documents? Obvious, I guess. information about target platforms. So if you're building for an embedded system, or you're building for other operating systems, or for some other version or whatever, you should be able to look up the information in the wiki, so you can just build it. And essential information for employees, who to contact, who to work, what happens if there's a fire. So the next thing is a task tracking system. That's to manage bugs, tasks, and tickets. They're really useful because they help you know what you're supposed to do as a programmer. They help manager know what you're doing as a programmer. They make you happy because you've got goals and you can meet them and feel yay. And they make management happy because they can see what you're doing and how long you're going to take and when they should give you promotions. It's useful if they're integrated with version control. So if you have a bug, you can say, okay, this patch fixes the bug. You can write that in so when people go over the bugs, they can see it's been done. And when you go over the change log, you can see what bugs are being fixed. Makes writing version previews much easier. And they help with project management, and they're also bundled. I use Redmine at work. The first time I looked at it, I thought, this is too good to be true, but it does actually work really well for me. So. So the build system, how many people know what I mean by a build system? Okay. So ideally, you want to be able to check out your code and type make or rake or jam or scones or whatever you use to build it. And it just compiles and then you just run it and it all works. So if you make a change, you can compile it and you can test it quickly. You don't have to go through like the ritual to be able to do it. Ideally, you should be able to do it for all your targets, so you don't have to do weird things and sacrifice a goat to build on embedded systems or whatever. And it's useful if it's integrated with your test and version control system, because that way you can do a nightly build, you can run nightly regression tests, you can do unit tests overnight, and that's really useful. So that's another benefit of a system. Anyway, so test system. There's nothing worse than facing 4 million lines of code on your first job and being told that you have to fix the bug, but you're not allowed to break it, because otherwise PHP stops working. So ideally, you should be testing before you even start coding. You should, well, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to write all your tests before you start coding, but just have some sort of game plan, putting those tests in and actually do it. Because who's trying to put tests after the fact? What does it feel like? Okay, I wasn't expecting that answer, but I should employ you or something. Anybody else tried it? Yeah? Yeah? You keep you busy for a very, very long time. Sorry. Last time I did this talk, somebody described it as pulling teeth. And that's how I sort of think about it too, because it's really hard to change the way the program works in order for it to actually be testable, because sometimes they're written in such a weird way that, whoa. But the buzzword is continuous integration, so you write your code, you write your tests, or whichever order you please, and you make sure everything works before you commit it, and that way nothing breaks the build, ideally, and nobody likes it when you break it. And nightly builds and nightly tests are a really good way to find problems quickly, so you can address them as they happen. So so 3 months down the track, somebody doesn't encounter the bug and say, "Ooh, who did that? What were you thinking, Joe?" I'm sorry. John. And a staging system is useful too if you've got a project that could benefit this one. A staging system would be a system like the customers or the web server that you're putting it on or whoever your target is, which doesn't have all the development stuff on it. Sometimes you build stuff and you've got some library because you're a developer and it works on your computer, but it doesn't work elsewhere. So what sort of tests can you do? There's a really elementary sort of test. Write it, compile it. Compile the muscle. That's right. So you can also do unit testing, which is just testing a little bit of the code at a time and doing that over and over again, so you've covered most of the code. Regression testing, which is like unit tests over and over again, so you know that you haven't made things worse. And performance testing, so your program doesn't take the life of the universe to run after you use this fancy new library that everyone's raving about. My favourite bits of development tools. What I mean by development tools is stuff that you need to do your stuff. So, compiler and language, profilers, debuggers, network debuggers. I've found a lot of use for those recently. All are very useful, but I think the most important decision that you make is one that you never really get to make, and that's a language. Because choosing the right language for the job makes it a lot easier to do. But unfortunately, you don't really get to choose that very often. Some people love IDEs, some people hate them. I used to hate them a lot, and now I sort of like them sometimes. But I still use Vim, because I like that better. Profilers. I've just been using instruments on OS X, and it's just blowing my mind away. It's the coolest thing ever. It's a front end to dtrace, and you can run your code, and you see graphs of CPU usage. You can see the deepest stack trace. You can see which functions have been using the most CPU time. You can see memory leaks. Go like this online. It's really weird. It's really, really cool. But being able to use those things is really useful. Network debugging tools like Wireshark. Wireshark is the best one. After instruments. I think. Things skip sometimes. I'm not sure why. I've got lots of lollies and chocolates left, which I shouldn't eat myself. So I want you to tell me what you really like using as a developer, or as any sort of tool that makes debugging stuff easier. NetBeans? Cool. Yep. Valgrind, yes. I love Valgrind. If only I could understand it. This is why I don't play basketball. Anyone else? Yeah? Virtualization. You don't want the one. Come on. other uses. Yeah. Backups. Yep. The steps. This one's a chocolate. Request check. Oh. Here, I'll try again. I'll give you guys some extra ones because you've been in the firing line. Excellent. Communication. Hey, that was a pretty good throw. Yep. Sorry, profiling tool. Which one? NYT Prof. Okay. Sorry, that was really bad. Here you go. This one's not. Ones can be useful. Oh, yeah. Firebug? Firebug is very useful often. Oops, sorry. There's nothing better than a good cassette. Yeah. Anyone else? Google Code Browser. Oh, yeah. It's very useful. I was trying to figure out how to track Windows on Windows. It's incredibly hard to find that out from reading the MSDN documentation. It's really incredibly hard to find anything out from the MSDN documentation other than why am I not using Windows? Yeah, it's actually faster to use Google on it. That's true. And it's a lot faster to use Google Code on it and find somebody else's user than copy and paste because you can't actually figure out what you're supposed to do from reading it. It gives you no clues. Paste in, yes. You ready? Woohoo! These fly better than Freddo Frogs, which I used last time. So keep that in mind. Yep. Got another minute or two. I can't stand them that strong. Something I really love using is Cisco. I find it indispensable, especially when I'm reading some code that I haven't written myself. Cisco. It basically compiles a database of your code so you can search in it and when you get the search results, you can just sort of navigate to them and press enter, and it'll open it up in your text editor of choice at the right line. And it's just amazingly useful. You can find what calls what. You can find what something calls. You can find all the instances of a particular token. Yeah, it's really useful. Is that my time up? One.
the lolly scramble was fantastic. Up next we have Elizabeth Garby with Through the Looking Glass.